Yes, open up your Bibles to two openings. 1 Corinthians first. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and then Ephesians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Well, for sake of time, we're going to read one verse, verse 13, and then mark in your Bibles Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. You're there, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. The Word of God says, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, or act like a mature man and woman of the Lord." But I want you to concentrate on the last part. Highlight that on the very table of your heart, if you would. He says, "Be strong." Be strong. And so I want you to consider that the command to the church of the living God, because you are the church, it's like he's writing to the church, this epistle to Corinth, to the church at Corinthians. I want you to see that. And the command is for you to be strong. But now in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he brings it home a little bit stronger where you can understand where your strength is from. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren." In other words, he said, I'm going to finish this up, this thought, and I want you to hold it in your heart. He says, "Finally, my brethren, my brothers and sisters," in other words, in the Lord, he said, "be strong," but he clarified it. He said, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. So tonight, you and I were in a place that the Lord wants to exhort us, because as I was been praying about this service, I heard this phrase. The Lord, he wants to take our weaknesses and he wants to turn them into a wonder. A wonder. Now, you remember the reason why I heard that phrase was, remember what the prophet Isaiah said about your Savior, about Jesus. The prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, talking about that there was going to be a son that was born unto us. Remember? And he said he was going to have the government upon his shoulder. But what he said was, his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Remember, we talk about that verse all the time. The word wonderful there is from the Hebrew word pela, meaning miracle. Miracle. So your weakness in a situation that you're at in your life right now, God wants to turn it into a wonder. In other words, he wants everyone in your life to see that weakness with his hand upon it. Now that's exciting to me, because I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of weaknesses. But I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now notice he said, I want you to be strong in the Lord. That end means that's a fixed position. When you got born again, when you got born from above, when you got saved, you become engrafted into the very family of God, but you got engrafted into the vine of God. You're in Jesus Christ. And so he admonishes us to be strong in the Lord and the power, the authority of his enablement. So I want you to see the reason why the Apostle Paul said that you could do all things through Christ, but because you're a group of people who are willing to do what God says to do, and you're going to be enabled. Enabled. Enabled means that whatever the world says no, when God says yes, you're able to do it. Amen? You can do it. You can. You're a can-do type person. And when you put the Lord's word first in your life, then all of a sudden, as you build upon the principles, you get stronger and stronger. And the reality of what God wants to do in you and through you comes to pass. Amen? All right. So you're going to be strong, but you're going to be strong in the Lord. So now what you and I have to realize, to have the true strength of the Lord, We've got to realize our weaknesses and we give them to Him. And when we give the Lord our weaknesses and we say, Lord, I'm not going to let anything about my life, any decision, any direction, anything that I might do or say, I'm not going to let it be determined out of my weakness. See, a lot of times we make decisions, you know, and say, well, I can't do this. You know, or the flesh doesn't want to do this. All of these things. And so we're not being strong in the Lord in the power of His might. We're looking at what we can do and what we can't do. Now, what is going to happen in it? And it's evolving and the ocean, I see it just like the waves of an ocean. The tide is coming in and it's getting stronger. And as the tide comes in and gets stronger, the revelation that God wants to bring to His people to reach this harvest in the last days, to change people's lives, is that He wants you to just depend upon Him in everything. And when He asks you to do something, don't ask how. Just know that you're going to be enabled by Him. Amen? Don't look and don't question. Now, you can do it one time, but don't be like Moses and do it eight times. Okay? We need to learn, and we need to learn from what's been laid down in the principles in the Word of God in the past for us so we don't have to wait around, because God don't have as much time as He wants to have. You say, well, now, wait a minute. God doesn't have as much time as He wants. No, see, the Bible has laid out some principles and it's laid out some timelines, and God's Word does not change. Amen? The devil is working overtime. You remember the Lord gave us a message here a while back about how in the book of Daniel that the devil wants to change the times. He wants to change the seasons. Now remember, God told in Genesis chapter 15, He told Abraham, He said, my people, they're going to go down to Egypt for 400 years, and I'm going to bring them out with a great substance. Well, then when you read about when Moses finally brought the people out, it was 430 years. You say, well, that's not no big deal. I don't know what 30 years means to you, but it means a whole lot to me at my age. A whole lot. So what I'm saying is, you know, we've got to recognize and realize that the time as we know it is very short. And so we want to be in the place and the position that when God asks us to do something, we all feel this. Every one of us in here, we feel this. We feel this urgency. We feel the promises of God and the power of God coming into our life. But we've got to, when the devil shows us our weakness, when he says, well, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't have the right connections. You serve a God that knows all of those things, and your strength is in Him. Amen. That's your source. That's my source. All right. So let's look at some things. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians. We were in 1 Corinthians. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's learn from the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul, we don't have time, obviously, to look at this whole 12th chapter, but he is having to deal with the religion that has got into the church at Corinth, and they're boasting about the false teachers. They're boasting about a lot of things. And so he tells them, he said, listen, if I wanted to glory about some things, I've been to paradise. He said, but I'm not going to glory in that. He said, I'm going to glory in my God, in my Lord, my Savior. He said, that's where my glory is. It's nothing about myself. And so he goes into detail explaining to some things to them to try to get them to not have any confidence in the flesh, but to have all the confidence in Jesus. And then he starts talking about his weakness, so the weakness could bring God glory. And so that's what you and I want to do. We want to know that in ourselves that we are limited, but with a God that is in us and we're in Him, we have no limits. Amen? So with that thought, let's pick it up and look here in this 12th chapter. For sake of time, just drop down to verse 5. Now, in 2 Corinthians 12 and 5, Paul says, of such as one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. He said, I'm not going to glory in what I've done or what I've seen. He said, but I'm going to glory in the one who has brought revelation to me. He says, I will not glory in those things, but I will glory in my infirmities. In other words, this word infirmity, other places as we go down through here, is translated weakness. He said, I'm going to recognize my weakness is a chance for the strength of the Lord to be glorified. See, every time I stand before you, I know how frail and weak I am. I know how in myself I can do nothing. And when I try to walk in this role that God's gave me, it humbles me, but it makes me recognize and realize that if anything is done, it's done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it causes me to know that if people see Him, and if they get a word from the Lord, if they get strengthened, if they get revelation, if they get encouraged, that I can glory to recognize and realize it was nothing of myself. It was all Him. And so that's what Paul is talking about. Paul says, listen, he said, he said, if you just knew me from my past, he said, in the past, he said, I was a person that was very detailed. He said, I was a detailed person. I was a person who walked exactly. You know, the Bible says that he kept the law better than any other person in his time. And so he said all of those things. He said, I knew where I trusted before I met Jesus. But he said, now I count all of those things as dung. They're loss. I count them as loss. But said, what I count is the relationship of knowing Jesus and Him crucified. So you and I, those things that we used to trust in, we recognize how weak they were. But now I want you to see, this is what the Spirit of God wants to put in your heart, in my heart tonight. The things that the devil has convinced you is your weakness and your limitation. Those things that the devil is telling you and I that will keep us from being all that God called us to be. No, we're going to glory in those, because God is going to use those, and He's going to lift us up out of that situation where everybody knows that's God. Amen? And so this is an exciting time. This is an exciting thing that when we recognize our weakness, that God can get the glory out of that. See, the things that I don't like to do is the things that God is calling me to do. And so I have to rely on His strength to be able to do it. Amen? And then when it's done, He says, I told you I could do it. See, that helps us. That builds our faith. That reveals His love and His plan in and through our lives. Okay. He said, for though I would desire to glory, I should not be as a fool, for I will say the truth, but I now forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me. He's making sure where the focus is at. At lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now what's the thorn? The thorn in the flesh is the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That word buffet means just literally what you think. It's a boxing term. For this one thing, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. What might depart? The evil spirit that was buffeting him. And he said unto me, this is what the Lord, look at it, red letter, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now see, we all talk about the power of the Lord, and we all believe in the power of the Lord. And that's where our confidence and our hope is. But we want the power of the Lord to come when we feel like running and shouting. But the power of the Lord comes when we recognize and realize that we're operating completely by grace. And when you and I recognize and realize that we're walking in grace, that's how we're strong, not in ourselves, but we're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. His authority is enabling us. In other words, you have been authorized and you have an anointing on your life, and you walk into a situation where the devil is dominating, where the devil is trying to bring destruction and death and all of these things, because of the grace of God that is on your life, and out of the weakness of your life, you're letting Him empower you, and that anointing comes in and on your life, and you change that situation. That's what's going to happen when you start running into people, when I start running into people, when God brings certain people into this building or into other church buildings. The power of God is going to bring a harvest. Now notice what he said. He said, my grace is sufficient. And that's from a Greek word that means enough. That means when God gave you his grace and you accepted and received it, that no matter what your situation of life is, you've got enough to overcome. That's why the scripture that Brother Corey quoted this morning, as he was closing worship service, him and Brother Justin, that in Jesus Christ, he causes us always to triumph. Always. That's the smell of victory. That's the savor that we was talking about this morning. You have the scent of victory on your life. And so here's what the Lord's wanting to do. He is wanting to take your and my limitations and turn them into expectations. One more time. He's wanting to take our limitations in the flesh and our own understanding, and he's wanting to turn them into expectations. He's wanting to take your weakness, my weakness, and turn it into a wonder, turn it into a miracle. Now, I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he walked a straight line of religion, and that religion required him to look, and he judged other people in situations and circumstances, and if they didn't do what he thought they should do, he said, kill them. But all of a sudden, when the grace of God was enough that got in his heart, the love of Jesus Christ come in his life, he laid all of those things down, and the areas of pride. Come on, if there was a more prideful person, that's why his name, I think, originally was Saul, because you remember King Saul was a king that was controlled by pride. And so his life then, he turned into Paul. Paul means little. He thought of himself little. He become humble. And so you and I have got to see that the little things in the Lord is what becomes big, what becomes powerful. Now he said, for my strength, this is what Jesus is saying to Paul. He says, now remember, you are enabled by his power. Okay? That's his strength. And so the grace of God brings that in you. And Jesus said, my strength is made perfect. It's completed. It's invigorated in weakness. Now, this needs to help us so much, and this is how we're going to help people overcome and get out of the stronghold of sin. Because, see, every person has weak areas in their life. And yes, there's a temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that is common to all men and all women, but every one of us, we have certain weak areas. But I want you to see that when you give that weak area to Jesus, that's when the grace of God can take over that and can empower that. See, you're going to come into people, they're going to ask you, listen, how can I stop doing this? And you're going to tell them how the answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer is not about them stopping doing that. The answer is about them receiving Jesus and what he done on the cross. And his strength all of a sudden would move them so far away from that they'll look back and they'll go, man, I don't even know where that went. I don't even remember that being a challenge. I don't remember how the Lord took that out of my life. But his strength just moved me away from that point to the place of the altar. Amen? Now see, we've got to get people's focus back on what the cross and the empty tomb means. The resurrection. We've got to preach the gospel, the good news. There's enough bad news that's preached all the time. There's enough doom and gloom that'll last for until the sounding of the trumpet. You and I, we've got to stand strong, and we've got to tell people there is something to be excited about. There's a reason to come to a God that loves them. There's a reason to come to a church. Amen? There is a reason. And that reason is that you don't have to feel dirty. You don't have to feel beat down. You don't have to feel defeated. If you'll just come and meet Jesus Christ in that weakness, the grace of God will change everything about your life. Amen? Now notice what he said. He said, Paul answered that. And he said, most gladly, therefore, He said, with rejoicing, will I rather glory in my infirmities, better translated weakness. I will glory in my weakness. Look what he says. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this is so critical that we see this. When you and I, we stop making a little G, Brother Corey, a little G God out of our weakness. And we give it to the Lord. He said that there would be a resting of God's power. This word rest is from a Greek word that means to pitch a tent. In other words, you're under the shadow of the Most High God. Come on, Psalms 91:1. You're in that place. There is a tent of power over your life. There is a tent of provision over your life. There is a tent of promise over your life. There is a tent that brings all the will and the plan of God in you and through you. Now, what's inside the tent? Inside the tent is your place where you lay down and rest. Inside your tent is your ice chest. Inside your tent is all the things that you need, amen, when you go on a camping trip. Well, we're on a trip. We're pilgrims passing through. This earth is not our home, but heaven is. But in the meantime, we've got a job to do, and that's to get other people on the same road, the path of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we rest. We rest in the reality that it's not about us. And God's, now I want you to get this. If you get nothing else, take this home with you. God is not limited by my limitations. He's not limited by my weakness. Rather, he can what? He can be glorified in them. So it's okay for me to say, well, this is what God's doing. I don't know how he's doing it. I just know he's doing it. He's such a good God. He's such a loving God. I'm just so thankful and so grateful to be used. Amen? Come on, that brings God glory. And this is what the Apostle Paul, this is how he was changed and how he became a person of so much dedication to the Lord that he went from having religion to having the greatest rejoicing that any apostle did. Come on. He went and knowing what was going to happen to him, he come out of Marmar prison, out of that prison that was in the sewer system, and he come out of there and he walked down that road and they laid him across there and they cut his head off, and he cut his head off dying in rejoicing. Now that's the strength of the Lord. Sometimes I can't rejoice when I got to go to church and the car won't start. But what we do is those things that hinder and limit, we give them to the Lord. We say, Lord, you know that I'm trying to help us. Okay, God wants us to give all of those things that are a part of who we are, but he wants us to give them to Jesus where they won't limit you. Because there's some people that's not in the house of the Lord tonight because of this, this, and this. And this, this, and this has no bearing on what Jesus wants to do in and through their life. But they're letting that be a little G, a God in their life. Amen? All right. Now, notice what he said. He said, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure, Paul says, I rejoice, notice, in infirmities, better translated in weakness. He said, in my weakness, I'm going to take pleasure, I'm going to rejoice in that. Now, this is how you and I change everything about our life. Now, see, I'm an introvert, and I don't like being in front of people, and if there's a conversation going on, I'd rather be listening to the conversation than talking in the conversation. Well, that don't work too good in where God's placed me. So what I've got to do is, and I'm just telling you from my point of view, you got to pick your situation out and give it to God. I stand there and I say, Lord, you know with all my heart, I want to be back here in the corner. So I can't be back there in the corner and please you. So right now, in my weakness, I asked for you to be glorified. I asked for the strength of Jesus to put your spirit in a place where it can come out of my eyes, it can come out of my mouth, it can come off my face. And whatever reason that you have me here, you be glorified in it. Let your strength flow. And whatever that is, or if you're in a place, in an area of temptation, Don't let the devil make you think that you have sinned just because you're tempted. Don't let him make you think that you're dirty just because you've been tempted. You just take it to the Lord and you say, Lord, this is really strong. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tempted. And the pull sometimes is so strong because the heavier that you're anointed under God, if you noticed in your life, the stronger you get anointed in truth, the stronger the devil comes against you. And so what you got to do, you got to say, Lord, right now I am weak. But I know that when I tell you I'm weak, that you said for me to say that I'm strong. And the reason why I'm strong is because in my weakness, your strength, you told me, is perfected. You never... See, the Bible says that he is your great high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Same word, weaknesses. So he never failed. So you can trust in him, amen? And as you talk to him about these things. See, I want us to be able to help people because you're going to have people come in here. And listen, right now sexual sin is rampant. And sexual sin is a deal that the Spirit of God is wanting to deal with because he's wanting to help his people come out of that because they don't understand what sexual sin does to them. And so God is trying to empower us and raise us up with a revelation, with a word of how we can keep people from being overcome by certain sins. And so I want you to know that God's going to give you a revelation, whether it's sexual sin, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's pride, it doesn't matter what it is. He is going to minister to each one in this church, in his church, to be able to bring a word to people that'll cause them to come out of the sin. Because the message is not changed. The message is come out from among them. And God is drawing. He's drawing. But when they come out, he's got to have you, by the leadership of the Spirit of God, to make them feel comfortable enough to say, listen, I don't know, you probably never struggled with nothing like this, and you can put your arm around them and say, I know right where you're at. I know right where you're at, but let me tell you what God will do for you. Amen? We've got to get back and throw this self-righteousness out, and we've got to get real. God is real with us, and we've got to be real with people. Amen? And this is what Paul is doing. Can you imagine? Paul he's telling, said, listen, everywhere I go to preach the gospel, the devil is done there before I get there. Think about it. Everywhere he went, the devil stirred up a stink. I mean, they stoned him. Now, you can believe what you want to, but they left him for dead. He stood up. God, I believe with all of my heart, God resurrected him because he had to go to Rome, didn't he, Brother Larry? He had to go to Rome. And so he couldn't have died. The devil couldn't kill him before his time. The devil ain't going to stop what God has ordained for you if you and I will hold on to the Word of God. Amen? Believe the Word of God. And I got to go back to that 430 years. Don't let the devil delay you anymore. No more delays in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's come out and let's do what he would have us to do for his glory. All right. Now, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. For Christ's sake, he said, notice this. Now mark this down. Write this on the table of your heart. When I am weak, then am I strong. What did Paul just do? He just prayed the Word of God. He come in agreement with the Word of God because he said what Jesus said. Jesus said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what did Paul say? He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. You and I, we've got to say that. We'll never overcome. See, there were certain things in my life, I just kept sinning and sinning and sinning. Now, it wasn't every day, but there it was. I'd run into it, and I'd get 2 or 3 months down the road, boy, and I think I had the victory. I thought everything was okay, and bam, I'd run into it. There it was. And it was just like Paul's talking about. It's a thorn in the side. It's just something to aggravate you, something to hinder you, something to limit you. But all of a sudden, when you give that weakness to Jesus, and you tell him, you say, Lord, you know what I will do. You know what I'll say. You know which way I'll bend. That's telling him that your strength is coming from him. You're recognizing what you would do, but now it's not you, it's his power in you. Now, can you imagine, here Paul is, a person in the natural that is such a person of structure and order, and all of a sudden he comes here to the church at Corinth, and if there was ever a bigger bunch of messed up people, come on, that 1 minute they're running and shouting, screaming in tongues, the next minute they're out at a sex party. And so Paul, and he has to come in his weakness, and he has to lay down all of his preconceived notions and ideals, how a person should act and react and love them out of that mess. Oh, there's a great outpouring of love. There is an anointing of love that's going to come on the true church of the living God, that people are going to look in the eyes of the church of the living God, and they're going to see that love, and that love is going to pull them. It'll be like a magnet, and it'll pull them out of the stronghold of sin. It'll pull them out of the working of death, and it'll bring them into a reality of an understanding that there is a God of love. Amen? And there's not one thing, Paul said, not one thing could separate us from the love of God. And they need to know that, yes, everybody has a past, but praise God, in Jesus Christ, that past is swallowed up. Amen? And no judgment. Why would we judge somebody that Jesus don't? Amen? All right. So can you come in agreement with this? That when you're weak, you're really strong because of Christ. You gotta make that confession. You gotta see that. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Let's read verse 15. I want you to, you know the verse, but I want you to speak it out, because you won't feel weak with the reality of what Paul said about Jesus. In Colossians 2:15, talking about Jesus, look what he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, this is what Jesus did, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, of what? Of the principalities and powers, openly, and he triumphed over them in it, in himself, in the cross. So the reason why you're strong when you're in Jesus is because those things that used to have the mastery over you, over me, those things that used to have the victory, all of a sudden you see that Jesus has defeated this, this, and this. And because he defeated them, because he overcome, your mind goes to the scripture, he overcame, so I can. See, all of a sudden, instead of the devil buffeting you, you're buffeting him. You got him going back against the ring, against the ropes. Amen? And because you're in a place where those lies are not limiting you, they're not hindering you, they're not keeping you in a mindset of defeat. You know how many people that you and I that we talk to, they do not see, they do not have an expectancy of hope that they can come out of their situation. The devil has them in a place where he says, you've been here this long and you're going to live and die there. No, that's a lie. And it's our job to give them the gospel, to give them the good news. Amen? Now, let's read verse 14. And we read verse 15. This is what the cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, according to the word of God, I should die, because I've done all of those things that required death in the Old Testament. But everything that was against me, every legal right of hold that was in my life, Jesus took it and he nailed it to the cross. He took and he fulfilled the word of God. He didn't change one jot, one tittle, but he fulfilled the word of God that I couldn't live. That's how you and I are righteous. And that's how he made a show of the devil. And so the reason we are strong is that when the devil comes and says, boy, I know what you wanted to say. I know what you thought. Well, you put it in my mind, devil. But I'm strong because that's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. And all of a sudden, as you steal your mind, then the Holy Spirit brings up in the truth that nullifies the lie. Amen? And you're in a place, the joy unspeakable starts happening. The bubbling, Brother Duckett, starts coming up. Because truth is there. Where the truth is, there's freedom. And where there's freedom, all of a sudden you want to run. You want to rejoice. You want to jump in Jesus. Amen? And this is how we're going to see God change this generation. Okay. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, turn there with me real quick. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 32. Hebrews 11, 32. This is talking about the faith that is in you, the faith that is in, this is the Hall of Faith chapter. But it says, what shall I say, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me. In other words, Paul says, I don't have time to tell you about all of this, to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets. He says in verse 33, what did they do? Who through faith, now, see, think about the faith that they had in the Old Testament and think about the faith that you have now. See, when you got born again, you got born of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God dealt to you from God the measure of faith. They were spiritually dead, and they had to trust God from a carnal perspective. Tonight, you're alive unto God just like you're going to be throughout all of eternity. Your spirit is alive. You can worship God in spirit and in truth. And so think about what they did and how much better is the covenant that you're under, established on better promises. Think about what you can do. We're living below our means. I'm telling you, there's fixing to be some exploits happen. We're coming back. God is going to be the awe and the wonder in the earth again. We know what the book of Revelation says. We know that the church harlot is going to rise up. We know that the church harlot is going to exalt itself. We know there's going to be many things that draws people away. But I'm telling you, our God is going to give people an opportunity to come out of that church system and to come into a relationship, and He's going to use you and I to do it. Amen? It's going to happen. Awe and wonder. The miracle working power of God. Our weakness, it will be wonderful in the name of Jesus. But He says right here, He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. There is a kingdom that's trying to raise itself up in our community. Come on, there is a gambling spirit that's trying to attach itself here. There is a spirit that is wanting to take and deceive people and cause them to trust in other things instead of trusting into a God that is a God of all provision, all promise. Amen. There's kingdoms that's trying to raise itself up, and I could label them, but I won't. I want you to see, you're here to put things under the feet of Jesus. That's who you are. And so if they subdued kingdoms under the old covenant, under the Old Testament, how much more can you and I do it tonight? All right. Wrought righteousness. They worked the Word of God. That's what brings righteousness. You can work the Word of God. You can bring righteousness to people through Jesus Christ. Amen? They obtained promises. God has some promises for us. Amen? Exceedingly precious promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. Come on, the devil is trying to destroy some of our family and friends. You and I were calling on God to do it. God is saying, use my word. Use the Holy Ghost in you. You stop the mouth of lions. See, the angels were all around Daniel. But what brought the angels? Daniel operated in the word of God. The angels, Hebrews chapter 1, they only work according to the Word of God. So we speak the Word of God. Guess what? Angels are working on your behalf. Don't you want to see the Lord's army help you and shut the mouth of the lion that's lying to your loved one, lying to your co-worker, lying to your neighbor to bring division and ultimately trying to bring destruction? If you'll see that in the Spirit and you speak that out, you will have what you see because you're saying what you believe in. Amen. They quenched the violence of fire. Think about, you know, we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but think about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their real name. Instead of putting the name of the devil on them. The fire, Jesus was in the middle of the fire with them, remember? Daniel 3, the king looked in there and said, I see three men, but I see a fourth. And he looks unto the son of glory. Come on. So they've done that under that faith. God's trying to raise our understanding of what you have, of what you possess tonight. Amen. There is no place in your life, in my life, for us to walk in our weakness. We give that weakness to Jesus, and he makes it a wonder. Okay. They escaped by the edge of the sword. You know, Jezebel tried to kill Elijah, but the sword couldn't do it. Out of weakness, mark this down in your Bible, out of weakness, they were made strong. How did they do everything they'd done? They were just like you. They were just like me. They were weak in themselves. But the Word of God, Jesus, that's the Word, made them strong. Amen? They waxed valiant in fight, and they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. There's coming a time, and it's coming right now, where the Church of God is not going to back up. We have been backing up ever since they took prayer out of school in 1962. We were nowhere to be found. But now God is building up a church that's going to have a voice. Their voice is not going to, we're not going to be the one that whispers in the sidelines. We're going to be a church that stands up boldly and says, what thus saith the Lord. Now it's in love. Come on now. The truth can go out in love and it can change people's lives. Amen. So I want us to see what God wants us to do in our lives. One last verse, and I'll let you go. Luke chapter 1, I believe it's verse 37. Now here is the angel coming to Mary and telling her about Jesus, the birth of what's going to happen with the birth of God's Son Jesus in her and through her, and John the Baptist and Elizabeth and all of these things. But look at verse 37. For with God, how many is with God tonight? That's all of us, right? So for with God, nothing, not one thing shall be what? So we've got to believe the Lord. Tonight, if there's any area in your life, you know, right, there's some things in somebody's life you're fearful about. That's a weakness, but you can give that weakness to Jesus, and He can make you strong in that area. Because 1 Peter 1:7 says, God has not gave you and I the spirit of fear, but of power. Come on, help me. Love and a sound mind. That's what God's gave us. So here we are without the Word, which is Jesus. Without Jesus, we're weak. We're fearful. But all of a sudden we say, Lord, in my weakness, I'm going to be made strong. I'm going to allow your grace to be enough. I'm going to allow it to be perfected in my life. And so you said that you haven't given me this spirit of fear, so I reject it in the name of Jesus. I renounce it in Jesus' name. And now I receive your power. Your enablement. I receive that. And because I'm receiving that by grace, it's enough. It's enough. And I'm going to be able to walk in love, because if you're fearful, you can also get grumpy and hateful, or I do. But you're going to be able to walk in love, and then you're going to be able to have the sound mind. There is really from a Greek word that means self-control. Isn't that exciting? That's what God has for us. And that's what He has for people who don't know Him. See, we got to get people out of these blank, blank, blank step programs that promises everything and gives nothing. And we got to give them the real thing. Coca-Cola used to have a slogan, remember? The real thing. Well, Jesus, He's the real thing. Amen? Now, Can you imagine this right here? Let's jump up just a little bit. And Mary's talking to the angel about how can she become pregnant because she's known no man. And that's where this set of scriptures and this thought starts. And the angel, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And what? The power, the dunamis force, the miracle power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Sounds a lot like a tent, don't it? What we were talking about, remember, that can rest upon you. Now, do you recognize that you have the ability to take what overshadows you and overshadow other people? What did Peter do in Acts chapter 5? He walked around, and his shadow, whoever it fell on, they were healed. They were delivered of demons. Their lives were changed. Oh, that was the early church. God said, I'm going to declare the end from the beginning. What once was will be again. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm tired of telling people about what God can do. I want us to be used by Him to show them what He will do. Amen? Now, the Lord's trying to work us in a place where we're comfortable around each other and we trust each other and we allow His Spirit to flow in us and through us. And as you and I get in that, in our place in Him, we're going to be able to function at a high level, an efficiency level. We're going to be able to not let one person leave a service or leave a time where God has got us together that they're left out. See, because you can't get to everybody, I can't get to everybody, but we're going to be in a place where we're in unity. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says, hey, and they'll show you somebody. And you, knowing that God talked to you, you'll feel the weakness, but you become strong. And you just go do what God would have you to do. And that way, everybody has a chance to meet the Jesus that you know, the Jesus that I know. Amen? So what are we taking home tonight? We're taking home the reality that we're not going to have limitations. We're going to have expectations. We're taking home the reality that our lives is going to focus on the wonder. Jesus the wonderful, the miracle working power of Jesus, not be overwhelmed by what the devil says, not by our weakness. Amen? We're going to let Him be glorified. So Mark 9 says that all things are possible, down about verse 32, I think it is, all things are possible to him or her that what? Believes. You're a believer. You wouldn't be here on a rainy, cold Sunday night if you wasn't a believer. Amen? So all things. God says, try me and see if I won't pour out a blessing that you can't contain. The challenge to you tonight is to take what once was a limitation and expect God to move in it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We honor you. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for the power of your word, your son Jesus, that is alive and well in every one of our hearts. I ask you right now, that you stir each one of us. And those things that we have deemed as a weak area in our life that is dominated and controlling us, those things that we think that we'll always be limited in, Lord, help us by the power of the Spirit of God, give those limitations to you. Create an expectancy because of your word stirring in us. And let us see what you would have for us. And let us move out of this space of time and move into living like you said, from heaven to earth, from the eternity. Lord, let every person right now be encouraged in you. Let them step up into a place of just sweet peace. Right now, let them feel tangible that anointing that would blanket them, that tent that would rest upon them. Let them receive it right now. And let them be able to overshadow others with it as you would lead, guide, and direct. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and give your weakness to the Lord and let Him give you a divine exchange of strength? Would you allow Him just to encourage you and strengthen you and cause you to see that it is, and you're in a place where all things are possible? Would you come tonight and believe that you can subdue kingdoms? You can shut the mouth of lions. You can stop the sword. Think about Elijah. He stopped the sword of Jezebel. Come on, there's a Jezebel spirit working tonight. It's a fake religion. It's to deceive people. It's to cause them not to realize the goodness of God. You have the ability to stop that evil sword by the sword of the Lord that is in your life, that is in your tongue. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.